I want to tell my Republican friends, get ready, pal. You're going in for a problem.
You're losing some energy, but
nothing for you.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
Quit asking.
I'm not going to take this anymore.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
There are no skid marks.
There are no skid marks. AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here with producer Greg. For a practice Friday. You know what? The Radio Hall of Fame guy came back with the 6 a.m. hour.
I missed him.
He said, this is too good. We need to have a Hall of Fame in the Hall of Fame. If I take this hour, then we need, you know, it's like the only place there's no Starbucks is in a Starbucks.
So if we're grading on a curve,
put a Starbucks in a Starbucks.
All the other radio shows are screwed.
There are no skid marks.
Yeah. And so anyway, you can find out, you can get the proof for yourself by texting Suits to 800-465-8770, and you can listen for yourself. When we're done with this hour, which promises to be the greatest hour of all time ever, and they all do. I mean, I can, you know, promise in one hand and deliver in the other. It's my middle name. So we just had a Seattle Radio Legend convention there at the coffee machine at the top of the hour. That's the funniest thing
no
about
kidding.
It.
No kidding.
But yeah, it was funny that.
Do you judge people in the, by the newsroom coffee machine by what they put in their cups? And what
I don't,
do you make
I don't
of people
pay attention,
that,
to be honest.
You know, people can get hot chocolate. Do you judge those people?
Yeah. Why would you do that?
Well, I do that.
You don't drink coffee?
I do both.
Listen to this, by the way. Coffee makes you move more but sleep less.
Huh.
A new study examined the health effects of drinking a cup or more. It found good news and bad news for coffee lovers. People who drink coffee took on average 1,000 extra steps a day, but lost about 36 minutes of sleep. The more coffee they drink, the less they slept, which in my case, I'm going the other way on that.
The concerns are based on what we should all be concerned about.
And again, what is Women's History Month?
During Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history.
Big time.
No gray area there on that one. Well, speaking of the fight against homelessness, and again, I'll argue that if you are living in an RV, that's a home. Tacoma is not going to dispute that. They're opening a safe parking space shelter.
There's a new shelter coming to Tacoma for people experiencing homelessness. It'll be located at the Old Holy Rosary Catholic Church near South 30th Street in South Fawcett.
Fox 13's Jennifer Dowling shares details of what that space.
Get on mic, dude.
The parking lot will be fenced off, and that shelter space will feature on-site security. Many of the neighbors that we talked to had mixed reactions to the news that this was going to open, but they were hoping for the best.
Because they park wherever they want. And you know, don't even start me about the RV park near the whatchamacallit hospital in Olympia. That's where Olympia is the most embarrassing homelessness tolerant capital on the West Coast. I'll tell you what, in Sacramento, there it's pretty bad. Luckily, the flooding Sacramento River has taken care of quite a bit of that. Salem, I don't even know them. It's nothing near for that state capital. A lot of it is self-inflicted because they parole people out of state prisons and they have to stay in Salem on mountain bikes at 3 a.m. Portland's where the epicenter there. But man, I got to say, for Jay Inslee to come up here day before yesterday and point to 60 abandoned, burnt out cars and say, wow, that's bad. That's unacceptably unacceptable. And drive through Olympia to get onto I-5 and you're flanked by homeless camps and or RVs all over Olympia and come up here. It's like, dude, you're blind.
I think it's a good idea.
Justin Hobson recently moved to Tacoma, just down the street from the future site of the new safe parking shelter space.
Obviously, moving across country, it's a big, big jolt seeing the populations that have been displaced here. So I think any small steps that are able to be taken to make sure that they can start to get back on there.
Says the guy who moved here. Displaced? You know, why are you coming here? Ask him that.
See, I think it's really important.
The shelter will offer spots in the slot for 20 vehicles with hygiene services available in one of the campus buildings.
I don't know if this is the most popular opinion with a lot of people in the area, but my family, we support it. Where I feel somewhat frustrated with the city has been around the fact that they have taken this long to get around to this.
While many support the space, opinions are mixed. We talked to folks off camera who were worried about increases in trash or crime in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. The city hosted a meeting recently for neighbors, which Patton believes took some residents by surprise.
I thought the meeting was, it had value.
Okay.
You know, I think it would.
So what they're pushing back on is sort of like what, you know, in North Lake Union, when they were putting the eco blocks there, was so that people couldn't park RVs. And you had small businesses willing to take a little fine from the city of Seattle, including a city council person with a craft brewery, who were putting eco blocks in parking spots because people just parked their RVs. And RVs, like unaltered female dogs, will just spew out a litter of puppies, of legless puppies, and they'll just drive to another spot. People will do that left and right. And they were doing it in Tacoma by, if you know where Bass Pro Shop is, conveniently located right off I-5. They're in South Hill. At the Bass Pro Shop takes up like almost an entire block, right? Huge parking lot. The street that borders the south, the legendary Hosmer Street is right in front of them, and that's Tacoma's murder capital. And I'm actually zooming in on them right now. Anyway, there's a neighborhood of RVs where there was a murder to what 2 weeks ago, the guy that also killed the guy's dog. There was a homeless versus guy in an RV dispute. There's drugs left and right, smoke billowing out of the RVs. And then there's people in actual houses with actual jobs that want their street cleared of this. So this is how Tacoma's doing it. Is they're going to cluster them all out of sight, not in a neighborhood, and a church is donating their parking lot. Well, good. They're going to have to deal with this now. And when they say hygiene services, they really expect people in an RV to not keep filling up their bilge and then emptying it. How, you know, what are the rules? Can you and your RV drink and do drugs? Because they will. And so I don't know if this is a tiny home village for RVs for Winnebagos or whatever.
It have been better had the city come talk to the neighborhood sooner.
This is our first safe parking site from the city side of contracting.
Caleb Carbone says the shelter will have some measures in place to try to address some of the concerns. He says security will be included, and to stop spillover parking on neighborhood streets, clients will be admitted through a referral program, with intake being done off-site to prevent a queue of people lining up to get in. Drugs will also be prohibited.
All right, dead on arrival. There you go. Sorry to my cynicism is showing. I whipped it out. It got, you know what? This guy gave me a cynicism thing.
With the behavioral assessment, there won't be drugs and alcohol allowed on site.
He says background checks will also be
required. Okay. All right.
Required.
The demographics are mostly going to be families and single individuals. Alcohol. There will be
people lining up to get in. Drugs will also be prohibited.
With the behavioral assessment, there won't be drugs and alcohol allowed on site.
Brian predicts this time next month, there's not one RV in there. The people are living on the streets in their RVs because they have a problem. And it's not that they can't stand, they can't work in an office. Oh, boy, those really set me off, working in an office. It's not it. But if there's one, the census of RVs in Tacoma, the entire city of Tacoma region from South Hill up to, you know, Old Town Tacoma, I don't know, it's probably 2 or 3 per block. And there, that area where all the shutdown hotels where people like get murdered for trying to sell you a stolen iPhone, there's an entire block where they're all lined up, and they're not they're not living that way because they're cleaning crazy and out proselytizing, and they're just flooding the job market with their resumes. So, and that that's part of the thing that I would pass on to it, to Inslee, is you have to accept that reality, that the crime is always over drugs, because they're all drug addicts or drug sellers, and that you have to deal with that. That you should arrest the drug sellers and provide safe roof space, whatever, to people going through treatment. And the criteria should be, if you quit the treatment, you got to unhook your RV and off you go. Go sailing down to Portland, where you're just another RV. But this is why this is going to fail. Because, you know, naughty, no drugs or alcohol. So anyway, I'll swing by it today and shoot a before and after on that one. I'd love to be proven wrong. I would love for a bunch of people to be living in this community where, oh, I gave up the drugs and the alcohol. And is that your pit bull? Oh, wait, that's my pit bull. And they all clean up together. That would be great. And then off they go to their adventure with that only an RV can hold. And there's that. Ever seen those, you know, the tiny trailers, those really tiny trailers for pulling behind your car?
Yeah, you can sleep like one or two people.
Yeah, my daughter and I are interested in that for spring break. We were going to go down to Astoria Seaside and do some open water swimming and surfing and stuff, because it's that time of year when warm water comes further up from California with juvenile great whites. And we were thinking, well, I know places where, you know, you're like in Oregon, you can drive on the beach. So why not pull a trailer? And all that. So that's what we're going to do. I have a no drug and alcohol rule, too. Uh-huh. And we're going to just get clean and crazy. So no more.
Have you ever fantasized?
No melatonin rule.
I've always kind of wanted to own one of those Airstreams. Have you seen those? It's like the RV is completely made of metal.
If you want to get lottery envy, Google Porsche trailer.
Oh, yes.
Porsche has partnered up with, I think, Airstream.
Affordable, sensible. Those things are like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh,
right?
It's crazy. You know, and it looks like Porsche designed it. It's like, hey, Ferdinand, when you're done with the Tiger tank, give me an RV. It looks like a Porsche with no engine. Anyway, back to the TikTok dude. He's visiting D.C. He's in front of Congress right now. I think they're probably in about half an hour going to break for lunch or TikTok or a selfie or something. There have been contentious exchanges, which is why the entire point of this thing is to send your home district your package of the TikTok confrontation, and you're doing it for the kids and the whole thing. And I sense this guy, because this guy's from Singapore. Xiao Chu is from Singapore. He's lived here for a while. He knows the point of congressional hearings is to get Jim Jordan on TV, on Tucker Carlson or something. It's to send you a highlight reel back to Como and Cairo. That's what Jim McDermott used to do. And anytime you see Pramila Jayapal on TV representing you, it was probably shot at 9 p.m. last night, and there's nobody in Congress. That's the great secret of that, is McDermott would stand down there and hold forth about George Bush and the Iraq War and how he, you know, that whole thing. And then your local TV runs it without that context. So you see your congressman standing down there, you know, waving their, looking all around the Congress, which is empty seats and a few janitors.
Hi, everyone. It's Xiao here. I'm the CEO of TikTok. I'm here in Washington, D.C. today. I'm super excited to announce that more than 150 million Americans are on TikTok. That's almost half of the U.S. coming to TikTok to connect, to create, to share, to learn, or just to have some fun. This includes 5 million businesses.
He's a cat. He's using a cat filter.
That use TikTok to reach the customers. And the majority of these are small and medium businesses. Now these numbers are
now he's a penguin.
Amazing. And I'm so thankful to all of you and the 7,000 TikTok employees in the U.S. who are helping us build this incredible community in America and around the world.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's I want to play a few exchanges for you between TikTok CEO Shou-Chew and lawmakers.
Did he clear up what Women's History Month was about? He didn't do that.
He remains to be seen. Here he is on the topic of TikTok's parent company in China having access to America's sensitive data.
Yes or no? Do any ByteDance employees in China, including engineers, currently have access to U.S. user data?
Today, all U.S. user data is stored by default in the Oracle Cloud infrastructure, and access to that is controlled by American personnel.
Do any ByteDance employees in China, including engineers, currently have access to U.S. data?
Congressman, I would appreciate this. This is a complex topic. Today, all data is stored by default.
It's not that complex. Yes or no, do they have access to user data?
We have, after Project Texas is done, the answer is no. Today, there's still some data that we need to delete.
Yes, but we've heard already from the ranking.
And what that, he's explaining that they have a thing called Project Texas, where they're going to flood Texas with 200 million Chinese commandos and hackers. I rather think that Texas is going to oppose them on that. Now, it's supposedly they're going to firewall all American data in an Oracle structure, you know, computer structure, server structure in Texas. And the deal is their parent company won't let them do that. There will be a backdoor. It's built in. already a year ago, there were a couple, I want to say BuzzFeed or someone, was revealing that American journalists who badmouth China, in their view, said things like there's no free speech in China or the police have facial recognition glasses. Their data was accessed by Chinese engineers in Beijing at ByteDance. And just so that we all are on the same page on this, did anyone out there ever have a Nokia cell phone made in Finland? My first cell phone was that eponymous first Nokia 9100.
The best.
Yeah. Little D-ring on the back of it.
We should have stopped technological advancements right there.
That's
all we needed.
When they eliminated the big pull-up antenna.
Right.
You know, and you didn't need the Motorola flip phone and the whole thing.
And it made that snappy sound when it closed.
Nokia. No, I mean the one that was just the phone.
Oh,
it was
okay,
not a Motorola flip phone. Nokia, when they first applied for a license, an export license to the United States, and they became, back in the day, at the height of their powers, they were like 40% of the entire cell phone market. They had to have a little chin wag with this institution called the FBI. And the FBI said to them, hey, wouldn't it be fun to give us your back-end encryption so that we can, with a warrant, eavesdrop on anyone we need to, because just like a landline, you know, you come here, you sell those, but they're wireless. We need to be able to easily access a Nokia phone. Can you give us that code? Because if you don't, go have a nice flight back to Finland. And of course they did. And this is an open society, is what I heard.
We know how much the internet has changed America. And we are already an open society.
And Nokia had given the FBI that information 10 years before he said that. And so anyway, that's just the way it works. Imagine that you're a Chinese company and you're a startup. You start to make money. You have already done a drug deal with some member of Xi's inner circle or even his outer circle, or you're not even in business. And that includes that when the Ministry for State Security comes along and says, well, we noticed you just went past 20 million users in America. What are you called again? TalkTick? Oh, really? Okay, well, you need to give us some office space. And they will literally have people in the office who they may have never been in front of a keyboard before, but they're going to go down to the engineers and say, we need to be able to pick individual users and check their locations and the whole thing. It was all explained this morning by Alex Stamos, who was part of the NATO counter-hacking advisory. He's a guy with years and years and years in the development of the internet, and he explained it this way a little bit.
So when you think about Chinese surveillance, you have to look at the big picture. And what the Chinese intelligence services have gotten really good at is taking big chunks of data about Americans and then putting them together in useful ways. So they broke into Experian and they stole all this data on Americans' credit profiles.
Oh.
They broke into Anthem, one of the largest healthcare providers, including healthcare to the U.S. government employees. They broke into the Sabre system, which is airplane reservations. They broke into Starwood to get the passports of people who are staying in hotels around the world. And then they broke into the Office of Personnel Management and stole the classification records of over 20 million American employees with U.S. employees with clearances.
So conceivably, starting with the people with clearances, you could get 5 million health records, 1 million credit records. You could put them all together in one big thing. So that this is just another one of their cinder blocks. Cinder block of surveillance. When we come back, Kathy McMorris Rogers goes face to face with Xiao Chu.
Hi, everyone.
And except for you, Kathy McMorris Rogers, we'll have that for you, and we'll clear up what Women's History Month is all about.
During Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history.
Oh, well, their mission accomplished. All right, back in a second. Checking if you're texting also, 800-465-8770. Back in a moment on AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here on a practice Friday. I can reveal that a RQ-4 Global Hawk has been orbiting over the Black Sea, but feet dry. It's been doing it over Romania.
But what does it mean?
This is the big one. The Northrop RQ-4 Global Hawk is the one as big as a 737, unmanned, obviously.
And 50% of men think they could land that plane.
I know. It's about to reveal where it took off from because their tracking thing, the ADS-B, is still up. But anyway, I think I see where they originated. This thing can loiter for like 18 hours. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and time for a checking of the texting. You know, I never read the emails.
Some of them are good.
Here's one. Steve emails, Brian, I just saw a photo of Stormy Daniels in a bikini on the internet. Wow, she can eat crackers in my bed anytime. Well, I would answer, why else would she be there, Steve? By the way, NSFW, don't Google her on a work computer.
She doesn't have a blog somewhere that's worth reading?
Or? It's like a blog.
Oh, okay.
You got to pay for it, though. I haven't seen any updates today, but no, that's not $130,000. So shut up. That's like maybe $60,000. And also, by the way, the worst, my friend of mine said this on her radio show, worst hush money ever. I mean, she has a point. Anyway.
We got a lot of texts about that study you mentioned in the first hour, which showed 20% of women believe they could land a plane and 50% of men believe they could land it without any formal training. From the 619, regarding non-pilots landing planes, did the researchers ever test their hypothesis by putting the subjects in a realistic simulator and seeing how many could land? I flew with my father as a child, no instruction, but do believe that with ground control assistance, I could land a small plane. I have seen how difficult it is and isn't. You're an aviation nerd, Brian. Speak to this.
My daughter landed a glider in her first instructional hour on her 10th birthday, and that's on video. And then I put a VR camera. For the next one, I put a VR camera because I was wondering, was the pilot actually, you know, taking his hands off? And the whole thing. And, she landed it. It was spectacular. So I would trust her more than me because I'd be looking for, like, the rockets and the machine gun and all that. 'Cause that's what I'm used to.
Casey from Auburn writes in, I could totally land a plane. Would we survive? Not likely, but I could certainly do it. We would be, in fact, on the tarmac in some form or another.
I'd like to talk to the authors of that study and ask them, well, what about Microsoft Flight Simulator?
I was down to talk.
Well, I don't care. What about Microsoft Flight Simulator? Is that an accurate? I would rather ask commercial airline pilots. Can you really get proficient on that? Because that was the word about, like, the Asiana flight crew that crashed into SFO. Was that, like, for a lot of Asian airlines that from countries that don't have a small aviation, you know, background? Like in America, you can go wash an airplane and get some hours and all that. For a lot of them, the word is that they take off from Narita in Tokyo or Beijing and they hit autopilot. And 16 hours later, they take over manual control while they're on final down to SFO. And that's what led to that crash. When they say, oh, he's got 20,000 hours in this 777. Well, okay, he's got maybe, you know, an hour 30 of actual hands on the controls. So I would be curious.
Do you want to play some of that video of
my daughter landing
landing a plane?
Landing a glider at Tehachapi Glider Airport in California.
Houston, we have a problem.
Fascinating radio. Anyway, look, she's banking. They're going to land on the taxiway. That's where you land gliders.
It's exhilarating.
I was ready for her to... Oh, wait. Here we go. And I was ready for her to say, I'm not getting in that thing. But we built up the seat. She got in the front. And she had a good instructor, and it was super fun. It was a great day for a great way for a 10-year-old to celebrate her 10th birthday.
Look from the bottom.
And she'll solo when she's 14 next month.
Flush. There you go. All right.
It was fun.
So I gave her an A. This is her second flight?
Yeah, it's an A.
Okay, she listens really well, takes instructions really well. Really 10? Yeah.
She skipped fourth grade.
Okay, most people are not this good at 10, okay?
Yeah.
She took...
Well, what's the feel, though? How many 10-year-olds had turned 10 in your glider, dude? So, anyway. I trust her. And it's funny because either you get the spatial stuff of it or you don't.
Lots of texts this morning about the CEO of TikTok on Capitol Hill. But before we get to those, I want to play you a little clip.
No engines in gliders, you know, so that might be a big problem.
I've moved on. Kathy McMorris Rogers, Washington's 5th District Representative, had some words.
TikTok has repeatedly chosen the path for more control, more surveillance, and more manipulation. Your platform should be banned. I expect today you'll say anything to avoid this outcome, like you are 100% responsible for what TikTok does, that you suddenly endorse a national data privacy standard, that Project Texas is more than a marketing scheme, that TikTok doesn't harm our innocent children, or that your ties to the Chinese Communist Party through ByteDance is just a myth. We aren't buying it. In fact, when you celebrate the 150 million American users on TikTok, it emphasizes the urgency for Congress to act. That is 150 million Americans that CCP can collect sensitive information on and control what we ultimately see, hear, and believe.
Was she using the lioness filter or the penguin filter?
I'm not. Oh, right. Exactly. I just got that. From the 206, TikTok is the Trojan horse of today.
Oh, yeah, but it's like the fourth Trojan horse. And that's the thing is, the other thing is location services. This is one of these apps that says, you know, can we have access to your contacts? And if you say no, it says, well, you're not going to unlock the full features. The U.S. military found out the hard way that at first the U.S. military embraced and loved the Fitbit. Well, a lot of soldiers were going to places and they were leaving location services on, and then they were sharing their data because there's a share function in most activity tracking apps. Once you do that, if you're in that, the Chinese were seeing where special forces guys were in Afghanistan, and they were seeing a cluster of eight Fitbits, you know, running around Diego Garcia, and they're all like B-52, you know, crew members as if they run, and, you know, stuff like that. And so that's where, you know, if you went to Fitbit, or if you went to, TikTok and said, well, can you enable the app to be fully used and accessed by a user without location services? And they're going to come out and go, well, no, you can't even do that with AAA or whatever. But anyway, she's right about that. Also, she knows what Women's History Month is about.
During Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history.
Exactly. So,
and last text from the 310. Hey guys, the only people I know who use TikTok are people who are trying to get their videos and comments to go viral so they can monetize. I know a 30-year-old nurse who's depressed because she had a video get over 1 million views about a year ago and she cannot replicate it. Sadly, TikTok is not just John Mayer giving guitar lessons. There's lots of junk content.
Oh, all kinds of crap. And the deal is you can trot out all the influencers you want, like that one congressman who's not on this committee is doing, on these people saying, well, 99% of my income is from TikTok. Well, then you don't have a job. Okay, but we're in a world where in 2023, when asked what they want to be when they grow up, Chinese kids are saying astronaut and American kids are saying social media influencer.
Eyeballs are very addictive. I had this experience myself years ago. I posted a Ghostbusters clip and I said, this looks like Democrats who are freaking out in Congress right now. And it's the most successful post I've ever had on social media. Ted Cruz picked it up. I didn't tag him or anything. Ted Cruz retweeted it. I got like 10,000 retweets, whatever. And man, the dopamine hits from that caused me immediately to go, what else can I post to keep this going?
Because
it feels so dang good. And it was kind of a come to Jesus moment for me because I realized I don't actually really like what this is doing to my soul, getting all this attention.
Yeah.
And I don't post nearly as much anymore because the only way to get hits is either to be way over the top, like snarky, controversial, or come up with some outrageous hot take. And with TikTok, it's the same kind of thing. The goal is to go viral, but the means by which you accomplish that isn't usually the best thing in the world.
Yeah, and there's a couple different apps that I got to walk away from, you know, if I get into a dispute with a troll, with an idiot.
Right.
And have you ever heard the term sea lioning?
No.
That's when someone in your mentions just says, well, you haven't proven your point. And go, okay, go back and read the original tweet. And they just keep coming back. Well, again, I'm just saying, how come you don't want to engage me? Do you not believe in this? Why would you tweet that? And it's called sea lioning because it's based on a really funny cartoon.
It sounds like a massive time suck.
Where the sea lion just won't go away. Well, why aren't you talking to me? And all that. When we come back, the banking information says that the money came from China to Hunter and Joe and Joe's brother. What's the money from? Well, don't even ask that, says KJP to Peter Ducey. We'll play that for you from yesterday and be back with a couple final words and stuff right after this AM770 KTTH. Another wrong wear was yesterday, AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. You know, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge will speed you to the Gig Harbor region on State Route 16. And it's a broad, four-lane, medianed, K-railed highway. It's you got to really, really try or be really drunk to go the wrong way on that one. And by the way, look, the guy who killed two people on the West Seattle Bridge yesterday was caught on video by neighbors for miles before he got on the bridge because he was doing pinball off of everyone's parked car to get himself funneled onto the West Seattle Freeway. The Department of Transportation said that westbound SR-16 backed up for several miles as a result of a wrong-way crash. And here's the thing. Here's a little known fun fact. in if you have, you know, highway lane dots and they're in a little divot that's ground into the asphalt, if you're going the right way, you see white. There's one. You see a white reflection of you or your neighbor's headlights. If you're going the wrong way, they are red. They're red. They're saying, I'm red. Pay attention. Red happening. This is red. So anyway, just a little fun fact. If you ever see if the lights are if the lane markers are red, you've done something really, really wrong. So there's that. So didn't play this. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. That Comer, that congressman who's looking into the Biden family and mysterious payments on their like actual official bank records, indicates that hundreds of thousands of dollars were paid monthly to this Joseph R. Biden and this Hunter Biden, and then Joseph R.'s younger brother Jim. And so that seems like the kind of thing you might want to ask the spokesperson at the daily White House press conference. Let's see what happens.
House Oversight says they've got bank records showing a Chinese energy company paying three Biden family members through a third party. What were they paid for?
Look, I'm just not going to respond to that from here. Look, we have heard from House Republicans for years and years and years how the inaccuracies and lies when it comes to this issue. And I don't even know where to begin to even answer that question, because, again, it's been lies and lies and inaccuracy for the past couple of years. And I'm just not going to get into
point out to what's inaccurate. Those are their bank records. They submitted them. They signed them and the whole thing. And that indicates that those payments are coming. What's inaccurate? And I don't know how that resolved. What she usually does is she says, I'm going to move on. And then nobody else in the room picks up the story that the president of the United States flew to Beijing when he was vice president with his son, Hunter, noted energy expert, and then had private meetings where no one else was present. And months later, six-figure deposits are being wired in.
Don't bother me with a question like that.
So, you know, so it's kind of a deal. Hello, a deal. Found a deal over here. And Senator Mark Warner, Republican, chiming in on the Chinese government's power over business. And by the way, the energy company they're talking about is one of the lead companies in China's attempt to take on the world's infrastructure, the Belt and Road Initiative that goes from Beijing, theoretically, to Italy. And they would really appreciate any help you have, you could offer us, because your dad is the vice president, is how that pitch to Hunter might be. Or how about this one? Oh, no, someone seems to have dropped some meth. It's not mine. Could it be yours? So there's that. Here's Mark Warner.
Chinese law trumps anything that the corporate management wants to do. And I would point out one other thing that I think will hopefully make the point. President Xi and the Chinese leadership have said, you know, they would rather get rid of TikTok in America than give up the source code, the magic formula that resides in Beijing, if through divestiture, part of the requirement was that source code had to be located in America.
So that's how they do business. There's that. You know, I've been teasing this story about the Pride Night in the NHL snowballing into a bigger protest. So here I am paying it off. Now, again, this is it starts. It's a Seattle Times column, sports column, and it starts talking about James Reimer, the goalie for the Sharks. And the trouble he got in the Bay Area, in San Jose and you know, the Bay Area, because he said he didn't want to wear the LGBTQ plus pride warm-up jersey. He said, quote, for all 13 years of my NHL career, I have been a Christian, not just in title, but in how I choose to live my life daily. I have a personal faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, and in response asked me to love everyone and follow him. I have no hate in my heart for anyone, and I've always strived to treat everyone that I encounter with respect and kindness. in this specific instance, I am choosing not to endorse something that is counter to my personal convictions, which are based on the Bible, the highest authority in my life. And he was quickly followed by the Philly Flyers defenseman Ivan Provorov, who declined in January to wear the Pride Night jersey, saying it ran contrary to his Russian Orthodox faith. And so the grievance industry was expecting the entertainment industry to rise up, Google what hockey is, and that there's a professional league, and get really angry. But no one did. And now it's not just individuals. Now it's entire teams. Things snowballed after Provorov said, that's against my faith. The Minnesota Wild absconded from Pride Night jerseys as a team, and the New York Rangers canceled a planned Pride Night altogether. On Wednesday, the Associated Press reported that the Canadian Blackhawks, pardon me, Chicago Blackhawks, will not wear Pride-themed jerseys before Sunday's game because of security concerns involving Russian law or whatever. So anyway, you know, this is a case where you can try to push a woke agenda on them. They're pushing back and they're saying, well, they're saying to their teams and the league, well, who are you going to get out there to play? If people are paying for a game, who are you going to get out there to play? And while you're at it, what the heck is Women's History Month
during
about?
Women's History Month, we celebrate and we honor the women who made history throughout history.
Oh. There you go. All right, back tomorrow for the real-life, real-time, full-speed tackle, drink water Friday. See you tomorrow at 6 a.m., AM 770 KTTH.
I just wanted to say thanks. I'm glad you came along, partner.